You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky together in studio. Buck, how you doing?
Yeah, man, it's been a long time since we've been in the studio. We got all the equipment and all the stuff ready, so this should be fun.
I feel like I must be in Rosenthal's chair. This thing's a little high. Drop this down a little bit. Drop this down a little bit. My knees are hitting the top of this desk here. Good night. Is it? I don't believe that that's Hansis' chair. That's some bad information. I want to talk about some quarterbacks today. I want to talk about the draft and want to throw some things at you and see what you think here. Let's start and let's go through some of these teams and let's go over the decision that's going to be made and the guys who will be in the mix here. All right. Let's start here at the very top. Caleb Williams. No reason to believe there's anything other than that that's going to take place. So I'll turn the topic this way. If you are the Chicago Bears, and we see this run on quarterbacks, mm-hmm. What do you think about at 9 saying, you know what, we might have a chance to go up and get whoever our number one wide receiver is to add to this group around Caleb and come back up to 4 or 5 if those teams want to dance?
So really, it's really interesting because a lot of it would depend on how do they have those wide receivers graded in the room. But let's just say if the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, you there at number 5, presuming that they have a higher grade on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Than anybody else. That is really interesting. I mean, that is a really interesting thing, depending on how much is that going to cost to move up from 9 to 5. It wouldn't have seemed to be a lot. And we're talking about the Chargers specifically. It still keeps them in range to have the options open on whether it's a tackle, a defensive playmaker, and everything. It seems like a doable deal. So, yes, if I am Ryan Poles and I feel that strongly about the number one player or the number one wide receiver compared to everybody else, yeah, I'll make that move.
Yeah, I think Houston last year, right? They pick up two.
Yeah.
They come back and get those two cornerstones. And now you look at them, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, two cornerstone players. When are we going to have this opportunity again to infuse the franchise with this much energy and juice?
And we don't believe that we're going to be in this spot anymore because if we get these two players to go with the rest of the stuff that we've done, we should be able to play at a high level. I agree with that. DJ, particularly because we've talked about it in this class, where we talk about the depth of the class being top heavy, where, hey, the first 3 rounds were good, then it kind of falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
If I am Ryan Poles and I know that, look, there's a significant drop off after a certain point, man, you can have as many of those picks down at the bottom of the draft as you want. We want to move up and get our guys. And I am always an advocate over players over picks. Give me the good players. I don't need as many picks if I can get the good players. So I'm okay with that.
I think that's an interesting decision for them to make. All right, we get to Washington too. Everything that I've heard is that they are sticking and picking, you know, mm-hmm. that pick is not for sale. They have set up this offseason to have a somewhat of a soft landing spot for the quarterback there. I do find it peculiar that they moved Sam Howell when they did, because Mariota, I don't know, do you want to trot Mariota? You got to have a guy that's going to come play then, because you're not going to wait for him. I don't think Mariota is going to hold off whoever they pick at number 2, do you?
No, I don't think so. And I think we've seen Mariota have opportunities. We saw him have opportunities in Atlanta. We've seen him have other opportunities, and he hasn't been able to kind of hold on to that QB1 spot. To me, if they're taking somebody, you have to take him with the expectation of playing and playing right away. That's why I think experience matters, which is why I've believed
you've been going Jaden Daniels
would be the pick there. The other thing, in a weird way, when it comes to Drake May versus that, is like, man, Sam Howell is his best buddy.
That's why I was thinking about Drake May though, because I didn't think it would make sense for them to have Sam Howell there. That would have been an uncomfortable, awkward
setup. I still think it'd be awkward. Like, well, hey, Drake, you want to take my house in DC?
Well, I mean, because there's 2 points to make. You're saying, wow, they double up on the Carolina guys, where I'm saying, I think if you were going to take Drake May, it would have been awkward to have Sam there.
Yeah, I see that.
So when that happened, to be honest with you, that's one of the reasons in these mock drafts why I've had Drake going there, because that I couldn't wrap my brain around.
Yeah.
Like if you have Jaden Daniels and say even you're going to start him game one, something happens to him, I'd rather go to Sam Howell than to Marcus Mariota. Yeah,
because I think Sam Howell has proven that he can play in this league. Like regardless of what you think it was like at the highest level or whatever, I think he's been a fairly successful player given the circumstances. I was surprised that they moved him so early in the process. I thought they would wait and probably get a greater sense of how they would be able to construct a team before they moved him to Seattle.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at quarterbacks too, you've got starters, you've got bridge quarterbacks, and you've got backups. And the difference between a bridge quarterback and a backup, like I'm good with him getting on the field. The backup is you're here as a coach with a uniform. You know what I mean? Like I feel like Mariota is more of a backup than he is a bridge quarterback. I don't really want to run Marcus Mariota out there for 6-8 weeks.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm thinking. I don't think I think whoever's the pick, he's going to have every opportunity to win the job in training camp. And if it's close, he's going to get the job. We talk about redshirting guys and doing all the things. I don't think Washington is going to be a situation like that. I think it's also apparent that they want to play someone young. But when you think about Cliff Kingsbury coming on board and how he was able to get Kyler Murray up and running. The expectation is that the young quarterback who comes in there, he's going to play from day one.
So we get to the Patriots, and there's lots of theories that are floating around out there. Let me give you one of them here with them, which was if we're looking at picks that are for sale and you look at two, everybody says no, right? Then you look at what could happen at three, and Elliot Wolf is there, who you know. And you know the background that he has and where he's come from. And one of the things that was brought up to me was, if you look at him in Cleveland, was 2018, right? So he was there as the assistant GM under Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
They had, in that class, you know, Sam Darnold was there, Josh Allen was there, Baker Mayfield was there, Rosen, that was Lamar, all those guys.
Yeah.
They chose Baker.
Yeah.
And so the thought that was presented to me, the idea was, if you didn't love Josh Allen and you chose Baker over him,
you're not going to
be a Drake May team.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that was what came to me, which was, okay, if Jaden was there at three, the thought was, okay, New England takes Jaden.
Yeah.
If Jaden goes two, now all of a sudden three, we might not be a Drake May team. We might be open for business.
Might be open for business. Yeah.
One of the thoughts being, If we have a couple teams that want to dance, and the teams that are out there, the Giants are mentioned the most, mm-hmm. the Vikings are mentioned the most, those two teams.
Yeah.
I've heard the Patriots could be a J.J. McCarthy team. They don't necessarily want to take J.J. McCarthy at three. If this is the scenario we're throwing out there, if you don't want to take him at three, you make the deal with the Giants.
At six.
I get a little extra sugar, which I think that Sam Darnold trade, remember when they went up to 6-3 with the Colts? I believe that was three twos, right? They had two twos that year, and I think a two the next year.
Might have been, yeah, something like that.
The Giants have a couple twos this year, so it wouldn't cost the Giants a first-round pick.
Still get the player that they want. F4, the Cardinals aren't going to do it. Is someone outside of the Patriots, are they going to?
You worry about the Vikings then maybe coming up in front of you.
That would be it. But then, if you're willing to move back.
And you're comfortable if that doesn't happen. Right?
That's what it means. If you're willing to move back to that, you like there are another player. There's a clump of players that, hey, we would like to get the quarterback here, but maybe we don't love the quarterback enough to stick and pick at three. That's what it's saying to me. Like, hey, let me
give you the options here. I'm gonna put you in the Patriots chair. Let's assume you decide we're gonna trade out. We don't like what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume we don't know where they are in the other quarterback. We don't know if they like J.J. McCarthy or not.
Yeah.
They're comfortable saying, if we don't get one, we don't get one. Maybe in there, they're like, hey, we'll take a shot at one of these second-tier guys.
Yep.
If I told you, move back, with the compensation for six, the Vikings, which, you know, is a nice collection, maybe you can swing those two ones coming from them. Probably, I'm sure you would be able to. And then, but I said, or you could go for the Kings ransom and go to the Raiders at 13. The Raiders come up to three, and now you're talking about first-round picks for several years here.
Well, yeah, so they hold all the cards, and a lot of it depends on what they feel like about this class. And if you're the Raiders, I think, in dealing with the Raiders, the Patriots, it depends on which quarterback is available. Let's just connect some dots without really knowing anything. Antonio Pierce recruited Jaden Daniels. Let's just say Jaden Daniels is available at 3. Does that mean that, hey, you're the Raiders, hey, we'll give up everything to go and get this guy as our quarterback of the future, and you're the Patriots, you're like, man, we like him, but, man, the hole is too big.
It's a big hole.
It's a big hole. We can go and get some other players at marquee positions and then come back and kind of circle back and get the quarterback either this year or next year. We feel comfortable with Jacoby Brissett as a bridge starter, so maybe that lessens the need to have to get a young quarterback this year or early. Yeah, I think it could be interesting. I think a lot of it depends on how it falls at 2. Like, yeah, the dominoes falling early would dictate how a lot of this trade stuff happens.
With the Raiders, it feels like if Jaden's there, that feels like the connections you just mentioned, that's a team that I would keep an eye on. If Drake May's there, I don't necessarily see the Raiders making that move.
No, I don't think so, just because it's not a direct tie that you can link it up. The reason why we can talk about the Vikings is because there's a connection between Josh McCown having coached Drake May in high school, Drake May appearing to have some of the prototypical stuff that you would love to coach if you're Kevin O'Connell, having Sam Darnold in the fold where you don't have to play him right away. There's more stuff that would seemingly point to the Vikings making that move if Drake May is available at 3 or 4 than the Raiders moving up.
Yeah, so those are the teams there positioned top three. It sounds like both Arizona and the Chargers would be willing to get the heck out of there if somebody wants to come up for one of these quarterbacks. So let me just hit you on that question real quick. No one who you're trading off of, which would be Marvin Harrison Jr., are you comfortable with that, knowing where Arizona is as a team right now, knowing where the Chargers are as a team right now?
I think for both of them, you're fine. I think if you are, and we've talked about the depth of the class, now it's looking at what do we need at the position. I think Arizona's situation is different than, I would say, the Chargers' position when it comes to wide receiver. So when you're the Cardinals and you're looking around and you're trying to, man, who are we going to play with? Like, we don't really have anybody. We would be giving up a true number one to move into position to take a bunch of picks, but what are we going to be left with playing with our quarterback, Kyler Murray, who Jonathan Gannon appears to be all in on? You're the Chargers. You're shifting the way that you play in a way anyway.
100%.
So the receiver is important, but it's not what it was under the previous regime where, hey, it's about the pass catchers, the quarterback, we can throw it a bunch. The feeling that we get, the Chargers are going to be more of an old school, traditional, run the football. We're going to throw, but we're going to throw more as we dictate the terms as opposed to throwing 35 to 40 times. To me, the Chargers have more flexibility to be like, we'll punt on Marvin Harrison. We like him, but we don't need him to do what we want to do and how we want to do it.
The way I would explain it on the Chargers side of things, and talking to people that are tied in with Michigan, it was explained to me this way, which I thought was a great way to put it. There's going to be 2 games a year, you know, on Michigan's schedule. You know, you're thinking about Penn State, Ohio State. We got to do a little something. Outside of those 2 games, we play Michigan. That's it. It's Michigan football. And I don't need you to do anything other than, as a quarterback, we're going to beat you up. We're going to run the ball. We're not going to turn it over. We're going to play great defense. We're going to keep the score down. And we can win the majority of our games that way if you build it that way. And the other way I would put it is like, with Justin Herbert, and I think it's going to take him a couple years to get there. I think some people think this just happens. Mm-hmm. They got to build it out. Mm-hmm. But I think they want to continue to build up the defense.
Yeah.
I think they want to build up that offensive line, which we've talked a bunch about. And I think the visual I would give you is, in the past, Justin Herbert's had to be Superman 80% of the time and Clark Kent 20% of the time.
Flips.
They want him to be Clark Kent 75-80% of the time, and then a couple times a game and against a couple of the better teams, okay, you got to be Superman in these moments.
I think we talked about it. We talked about, in terms, I know we had a conversation about Aaron Rodgers, and as Aaron Rodgers is out a 4-time MVP, you don't want him necessarily to have to carry the team the entire schedule, but 4 or 5 games a year, I need him to show up and be the special Aaron Rodgers. I think the Chargers want to get to the point where that's what Justin Herbert does. He is the we'll break him out if we need to, but if we don't have to break the glass,
not going
to
do it.
We're not going to do it. And Jim Harbaugh, being a former quarterback, I think he understands and appreciates that more than anything. Let's not unnecessarily tax the quarterback. Let's have a team that can win without the quarterback being the primary driving force of the offense. But if we need it, we can go to it. So that makes sense. And I do like that intel about Michigan and Michigan football. Like, oh, you know, Penn State, Ohio State, everybody else, we're going to line up and do what we do.
Yeah. And one of the things that's fascinating about J.J. McCarthy, give you an example. I pulled up the game here. Penn State, Chop Robinson, they couldn't block him.
Yeah.
Couldn't block him. So you know what Michigan said?
We're going to run the football.
We're going to throw the ball 8 times.
We're going to run the football.
And we are going to run it 46 times. And because that's the way we win this game. And it's going to be Michigan football. That's what we're going to do.
And we're about winning. And what they did in the second half of that game, I think they ran 30. It was 32 straight runs in the second half. And with the kneel down or whatever. And that's how they went. Because at the end of the day, for them, style points didn't matter. Mm-mm. They just wanted to win the football game. And there's something to be said for a head coach and even a quarterback that can, okay, we've got to do to win.
This is one of the ways it was described to me, too, on that front about J.J. McCarthy specifically was in practice every day they threw the ball in the red zone and did just repped it over and over again. And the whole message was, guys, maybe just Ohio State, but once we get into the playoff, we're not going to be able to just mash people in the red zone. We can't just give it to Blake Corum. but they would rep that and then go through the whole season and not need it. And then all of a sudden you find yourself against an Alabama in a Rose Bowl and you need to make a play down there. You make some plays.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, he doesn't technically have that experience, but he had that experience every single day in practice. It was like you said, in case of emergency break glass, we are not doing it. And I love the phrase. That's the way they described it. I love that phrase. It was like, hey, we're playing Rutgers in October. It's Michigan football.
Yeah.
That's it.
You just keep it simple. Don't try and do too much. Don't complicate it. Hey, this is where we're going to line up. We're going to run the football. Make sure it's a clean game.
Yep.
Don't turn over, play great defense. And whatever it looks like, if it's 20-3, so that's fine. We're okay. We don't need it to be a 45-3 game. We're about winning. And it has been a really successful formula for Michigan the last 2 years. If you go back and really look at how he won at Stanford, how he won with the San Francisco 49ers, it's a recipe that is certainly a big part of his cookbook.
Yeah. And so one of the things, the last thing on the Chargers, we'll move it forward, but was, hey, everybody's talking about offensive line. Everybody's talking about, do they take a receiver? He's like, hey, look at the 49er teams. That defense was stacked. So don't be surprised if they are able to trade back if this isn't, you know, a corner, defensive tackle, edge rusher, or something like that either.
That makes sense. It does make sense. And let's look at those Michigan teams and look at the players and the top players that they have in the draft are their defensive players, not necessarily offensive players. He certainly has an appreciation for defense and how defense gives them a chance.
All right, so let's go. We talked about the Giants potentially as a team could move up. I think I would keep an eye on like Drake May for them would make some sense. I don't, you know, is J.J. McCarthy there when they pick? Does that influence what they want to do? I don't know. They have some wideouts that are going to have be hard to turn off of. You know, if you don't love the quarterback, you're going to have some big-time wideouts.
You haven't
wideouts.
Scored points. You're struggling. You haven't had a number one receiver. Let's be honest. You haven't had a number one since Odell Beckham Jr. was in his prime, and you have an opportunity to get someone that can generate some buzz and even make life easier for Daniel Jones. I mean, we've seen how a wide receiver can work wonders for a quarterback. Maybe they're saying that is the thing. And even though they made a bunch of moves last year, it's different to wide receivers that we're talking about at the top of the board.
So we get to quarterback alley, which is 11, 12, 13. Minnesota, we've talked about potentially moving up. Denver and Vegas. Talked about Vegas potentially moving up. Denver, everybody's connected them to Bo Nix, just from a stylistic, you know, thing, frame of reference there. If you're sitting there, I don't think they have the ammo to go all the way up. So to me, I think if you're them, you have to say, is there a major separator between that next group of guys? And if not, then who is your guy amongst that threesome that's left?
I think that's the thing. Sean Payton has been on record and said, like, he feels like they do a great job of scouting quarterbacks. I don't know where it comes from, but that's what it feels like. They do a great job. Because I was like, I don't remember the Saints drafting a young quarterback that was
Ian Book.
I mean, but he feels good about his process. And so the Bo Nix thing at 12 is interesting because if you're Sean Payton, do you feel like there's anyone else that would take Bo Nix in the first round? If Bo Nix doesn't go to Denver, where else could we see him going in the first round? Is there a team? I've talked about maybe the Rams, but do the Rams really want to invest in a quarterback in the first round with Matthew Stafford? I know he's nearing the end of his career, but are they viable options? Who's the team after the Broncos that would be the quarterback would be a serious consideration? I think it takes us a long time to get to one after that. So maybe they trade back and still get Bo Nix wherever they fall back into.
Going through trying to find these quarterbacks you're talking about that he was mentioning that about. Ian Book is in 21. Maybe they're talking about because everybody knows it's out there. They tried to go up and get Mahomes and didn't get him. You know, weren't able to get it done. So are they going to count that as the win?
Count that as the win.
Count that as the win. Because outside of that, I mean,
took someone years ago at Colorado State that was never played. Like, I don't know if they've ever done it, but that's the,
Sean Canfield from Oregon State in 2010.
Right. So I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why he would put that out there, but yeah, he feels great about their process and how they.
Callie, I'm going back through the old school names. This is before Sean Payton, I believe. But remember Adrian McPherson from Florida State, who then went to the Arena League?
Yeah, how about that? Adrian.
I gave him a good grade. I took my swing on that one.
He got in trouble. I remember looking at his tape because he got suspended. Wasn't it gambling?
Gambling, I think so, yeah.
So he didn't play his funny, but man, he was
athletic.
Was it 1 year or 2 years at Florida State? He ran around and made some plays.
I went to see him in the Arena League. fun scouting days. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll look at a couple more of these teams.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Buck. Couple more here. Raiders, we talked about them moving up. How about if the Raiders don't go up in this Jaden Daniels thing we were kicking around, having some fun with? You've got Penix we've connected them with as a potential there. If that's your guy, do you take him at 13? Or if somebody, I don't know, somebody could be coming up for a tackle, some other, because New Orleans is right behind you, who has, mm-hmm. you know, could take a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be positioned in front of them to maybe take a trade up there, maybe trade back a little bit. Is that something where you're like, okay, I like that. I like him as a player, but I need a little sugar.
I would take the player. A quarterback.
Don't get cute.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to go back to 16, like, what's the point? I want to make sure that I don't miss out on the quarterback. Because if we feel that strongly about him where we would consider taking him in the middle of the first round, let's just take him and make sure we get it. Let's not leave it to somebody else. Let's not make sure that we can control our own destiny when it comes to getting the quarterback that we want.
All right, now I'm gonna get you to this next one here. Let's say that Penix does not go there. Raiders go in a different direction, don't take a quarterback. They maybe want one later. They're going to roll the dice with what they have on campus right now. Have we talked at all about this? I know that Seattle traded for Sam Howell, we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're sitting there and you're looking in the way the draft goes and you're Ryan Grubb.
You're right there. You know him. You're offering.
You know this guy inside and out.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. You can sit him. And like you have the luxury of being able to park him behind.
Question. So you know John Schneider well. Worked with him. What's one thing that Green Bay has always valued in quarterbacks over the
big
years?
Big hand size. Big hands.
Michael Penix has meat hooks for hands. Man.
Big hands. They also value like his long arms. Just the prototype. He's
big
fast.
Arm.
He's fast. They've always.
How about when you want to send DK Metcalf over the top and you've got Michael Penix bombs away?
So a couple of things that work in the Seahawks' favor when it comes to it. The OC knows everything about him.
Yeah.
Strengths, weaknesses, intellect, what he
knows how to play with him.
Knows the offense, knows how to win with him, all those things. So you have that in play. You have Geno there. You have Sam Howell. Like, yeah, you had to get it ready. You have an opportunity to recreate some of the things that you were a part of in Green Bay when they just always rolled a bunch of quarterbacks through during quarterback school. So now there's no pressure to play Michael Penix right away, even though all those, man, those UW fans would be salivating to get him on the field. But there's no immediate pressure. And you have two quarterbacks that you can trot out there before him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just it makes a lot of sense now that we talk about it in that.
Feel like we haven't talked about this connection.
No, we've never talked about it because it hasn't been a thing. Because when they made the move for Sam Howell, we marked him off the board in terms of being in the quarterback market. But when you bring in the OC connection,
he's
local. You have to think that they've seen him more than any other quarterback prospect because he's in the backyard.
Yeah. So John's got a chance. Schneider's had a chance to see him play live, I guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
You've got his coach there on campus. It's literally, he's played in that environment.
He knows how to work
wet around. Ball, rain, all that stuff. Ain't a problem for that dude. And I'm sitting there going, I always like to do this exercise. We get out there, first mini camp. Geno goes one, Sam goes two, Penix goes three. You're sitting there as a scout watching one after another after another. And look, I mean, Geno throws a nice ball. Sam has a live arm. Penix is different.
Different arm. And you can see that down in the Senior Bowl. You raved about him when you saw him. Like, woo.
Ball jumps.
It jumps off his arm. And actually, when you watch all of his stuff, it's funny because he is a fastball pitcher. Mm-hmm. He is throwing everything with velocity and whatever, working intermediate areas and red zone. He does it. But he has an attack mentality. And with the receivers that they have on the outside, I can see them pushing the ball a little more down the field, a little more vertical action.
So then let's look at where they are here, and I'm going to look at see their draft haul. So they have no second round pick. So they have a 3, they have 2 4s, 2 6s, and a 7. So, and not a huge collection of picks there for Seattle, because I was curious to see if you like him enough to take him where you're picking. Would you be then willing to, if you're Seattle, to say, hey, we're picking 16.
Mm.
The Raiders have been pegged as a potential Michael Penix team. It shouldn't be that much to go up to 12, right?
Right.
I mean, if the Denver Broncos aren't going to take one and they want to slide back.
If you feel that convicted about it,
I would go to 12. If you're going to take Mike, if you've come to the conclusion that you're comfortable taking Michael Penix at 16, go get him at 12.
If you're going to take him at 16, you can take him at 13.
So, you know, that's an interesting one, the dots to connect there. All right, last question on the quarterbacks, and then and we can wrap this up again. It's a fun, quick episode today. We've got broadcast boot camp. We got a bunch of NFL players rolling through. We got to go help the company here as they try and put those guys through the paces. But last question for you, the Rams, picking 19. Haven't had a first-round pick in 100 years.
Yeah.
You've got Matthew Stafford for one, maybe two. So this is where Les Snead's job becomes hard.
Yeah.
Do I potentially want to take the next guy? Or are we all hands on deck? We're going to try and make a run here before Matthew Stafford hangs it up.
I think with Aaron Donald hanging him up, now we try to start building towards the future. We want to continue to be competitive and win. It's a different animal, though, when that 3-time defensive player of the year leaves.
Yeah.
You can be competitive, but you won't be nearly as dominant as they were on defense with him commanding so much attention. I'm looking ahead. Like, let's build it the right way. Let's make sure we get all the marquee positions taken up. Let's make sure that the program is in order. I don't think we're playing for right now. I think we're playing for the future.
Okay. Well, then let me just spin it another way. If you use this pick for an asset, and you just get another player that can help you try and make a run. So just the other side of the coin here. You try and make your run here with Stafford. Get another piece. All those young defensive players they played with last year are going to be a year older.
1 year older.
Yeah, that's encouraging. You got a cheap defense. All those guys on rookie deals. Now we go get another guy on the offensive side of the ball. They've made an investment on the offensive line, right? They brought in the two big guards.
Mm-hmm.
So do you position yourself on the other side of it and say, you know what? This year, Kirk Cousins was kind of the veteran. Next year, who knows what veterans are going to be out there? Dak Prescott's, who knows what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Was Sean McVay, if this was it, if Matthew Stafford wants to go this year, make a one more push at it, and then decides it right off into the sunset, is there, and I don't know who the veteran would be next year, but with Sean McVay, that offensive line, Puka Nacua, wouldn't that be the most attractive spot for the veteran quarterback? Like, the veteran quarterback.
It seems like it'd be very attractive. One, you've seen the work that Sean McVay has produced. Two, you've seen the work that he's done with guys on the perimeter, developing guys, getting them ready to be stars, making them stars, manufactured or real. He's created stars. And then it's just about putting all the pieces together. And when you look at everything, it makes a lot of sense, man.
Yeah, I don't know who that – I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. Maybe Justin Fields is, you know, plays well this year and he gets out there. Whoever's going to be the quarterbacks in the mix next year, whoever's the – there's always a veteran, right? Every year we have one or two of these guys that are, you know, plug and play, and they're going to end up changing teams. So I don't know. They could position themselves to get the next quarterback for the next 15 years, or they could say, you know what? We're going to be the destination spot for who wants to come play under Sean McVay.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't think you can go wrong selling either way.
Yeah.
They are a destination spot. It is fun playing for Sean McVay. You can tell the numbers that the wide receivers put up. A lot of fun. One thing receivers love. They love catching the ball, putting points up.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at them and think they might look at the NFC and say, oh, you know, we play with the Niners. We see the Niners twice a year. We compete. We can compete against them. We got Stafford healthy. We've addressed some things. We pushed all the chips in, trades that they made, Jalen Ramsey, all that stuff to go get one Super Bowl. Hey, let's load up with guys to help Matthew Stafford try and make one more run. I mean, you get two Super Bowls out of this thing, like, who cares about the future?
Why not? You want to be in the mix. You got to be in the conversation to be in the conversation. So I dig it.
Yep. There you go. That was a quick little episode today, Buck. Anything else you want to add before we jump
out? No, man, it's fun. I'm looking forward to getting with some of our broadcast boot camp participants. It's a fun time. Former players, current players, trying to figure out what they want to do life after. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to jump in with those guys right now. So appreciate you guys hanging with us today. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.